Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 10th January 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday Live programs of Radio Sai, and it was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Pishu Prushti. Have a listen, please.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we have a beautiful bhajan from the yesteryears for us to learn. It's a lovely Krishna bhajan, just three lines. Here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Govinda Gopal, Jaya Narayana Gopal.
So this is what we will learn now. Like in every episode of this program, let's get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat, and we'll also spend time on the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And in the end, we will listen to the mandir version of this bhajan as it feels when it is sung in the Sai Granth Hall by the students of Bhagwan's University. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Govinda Gopal, Jaya Narayana Gopal, Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal, Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal. This bhajan is being rendered in the scale F sharp pancham.
Now that you are familiar with the lyrics, it's time for the most interesting part of learning to sing this bhajan. As you listen to this bhajan being sung very slowly, you too please follow line after line. You will learn it very easily. You will enjoy this experience.
Govinda Gopal, Jaya Narayana Gopal.
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 Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Govinda Gopal, Jaya Narayana Gopal.
And now we come to that aspect of bhajan singing which is the subtlest but the most powerful, which is in fact the core of bhajan singing, which is in fact the reason why we sing bhajans. It is the bhava aspect of this raga and tala which together make the bhajan. So that's how this sweet bhajan on Lord Krishna flows. Let us spend some time trying to understand the swaras behind this composition. Yes, it is a very simple tune, and once we know the swaras and discover its simplicity, we will enjoy it even more. Brother Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts. So brother, when you heard about this bhajan, what was the feeling?
Sai Ram Bishu.
Sai Ram.
As soon as I heard this bhajan, I felt a beautiful simple namavali, and I have some fascination towards the three liner bhajans which are very sweet and having less complicated in terms of tune.
Yes.
So it is very simple for everybody to follow, just like
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
And many of Swami's bhajans are of this nature.
Yes, yes. Swami made it very simple.
Yes.
Be it Vahe Guru.
Govinda Jai Jai, Gopal Jai Jai, yes. Radha Raman, yes. Hari Govinda Jai Jai.
You have Bada Chitta Chora, so many of Swami's.
Yes, so many. Om Shivaya.
Yes.
And also you have some of the very simple Namavalis like Mana Mohana Anandala.
Yes.
Manamohana Madhusudana Vrindavana Nandalal Govinda Govinda Mukunda Madhava Govinda.
That's the vintage bhajan. We have to revisit.
Yes. One more vintage bhajan.
Jaya Rama Raghu Rama.
Yes.
Radha Krishna Karuna Lola.
All are vibrant and
yes,
very simple to follow. And I guess more bhajans are sung in a session where everybody follows with ease rather than having a musically complicated composition.
Yes. Then it really becomes sankirtana, you know, take yes, everyone along.
Yes.
Very beautiful.
And the raga behind this simple tune is Shankaravarnam, Bilaval, which is all, which has all the seven notes as Shuddha notes.
I think that is one of the most common ragas. You have any number of Sai bhajans in that raga.
Right? Yes.
I think so, given that this is a very familiar raga, anybody who knows music knows Shankaravarnam or Bilaval.
Yes.
So let's go to the bhajan and do the notes of the bhajan.
Yes, so let's take the first line.
Govinda Gopal, Jai Narayana Gopal. Sa Sari Gari Ri Pa Pa Ma Gari Gari Sa.
Sa Sari Gari Ri Pa Pa Ma Gari Gari Sa.
Madhava Gopal Madhusudana Gopal. Ma 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 Ga Pa Pa Ma Dha 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 Ma Pa.
Ma 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 ga pa pa ma da 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 ma pa.
Keshava Gopal Mukunda Gopal. Da 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 pa ma 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 pa da pa ma ga ma ga ri sa.
Da 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 pa ma 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 pa da pa ma ga ma ga ri sa.
In fact, when I was doing the swaras, I was remembering this can be a value addition to the Balukas bhajans.
Yes.
The children can sing with so much ease.
Absolutely. Like, a group 2 or group 3 bhajan, even yes, group 1.
Yes, yes. When they can sing Punyanam, Pavitranam, definitely they can sing this.
So, I mean, if you imagine all the little kids
yes,
singing this bhajan together.
It sounds very beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that scene itself is so
yes,
so beautiful, so energizing. This bhajan is as simple as the innocent minds of the kids.
Yes.
Lovely. So the beat, I guess, also is the simple 8 beat, right?
Yes. The beat is Aditalam or Keherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Govinda Gopal, Jai Narayana Gopal.
Govinda Gopal, Jai Narayana Gopal.
Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Keshava Gopal, Mukunda Gopal.
Govinda Gopal, Jai Narayana Gopal.
Beautiful. Really grateful to Swami for giving us yet another lovely, sweet melody from the yesteryears. Thank you so much, Anirudh Anand and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Here we have to spend time understanding what each word of this bhajan means and how we can pour our heart out at the lotus feet of the Lord as we make this offering whenever we sing. So let's begin with the first line.
Govinda Gopal, Jaya Narayana Gopal.
The superficial meaning of Govinda and Gopala is one who looks after the cows. Krishna is always associated with the cowherd clan of Vrindavan. As he grew up, he too, like the other boys of his age, played the role of a cowherd boy and tended to cows and took them for grazing into the pastures and so on. That is how people think Krishna got the name Govinda. But Bhagwan says, Go means souls or beings or individuals. So Govinda is one who looks after our souls, who keeps us away from harm, who encourages us towards those pastures of peace. Because he looks after every soul on this earth, the Lord is adored as Gopala and as Govinda. In fact, the word Go also denotes the Vedas. So Govinda means the one who fosters the Vedas, who is the abode of the Vedas, who is reached when Vedic chanting is done. Jaya means victory and Narayana means the one who pervades everywhere, whose seat is in every heart. The all-encompassing one is Narayana. So victory to that Lord who is the caretaker of this universe and who is there in every speck of this creation and who looks after all of us. I'm reminded of a very beautiful incident that happened many years ago in Kodaikanal, the heavenly hill station nestled in the Palani hills of Tamil Nadu, India. Come summer and the place becomes a beehive year after year in Kodaikanal. Thousands converge there to soothe their sinews and refresh their souls. For them, it is not just an escape from the rising mercury levels elsewhere in India, but it's an opportunity to get away from the rigmarole of everyday life and simply connect with their inner selves in an environment that exudes coolness, silence and serenity. Until 2009, for devotees of Bhagwan, a visit to Kodaikanal in April, May meant much, much more. It wasn't just a pleasure trip or a joyride. It was a much awaited and coveted pilgrimage because now they can see their divine master against the backdrop of untouched nature and bask in his purifying presence. It was a blessing incomparable. They would stay on for days and weeks just to glance at their Sai in that surreal milieu. And what to say of those who were chosen by Bhagwan to be part of his entourage? It was a chance of a lifetime as they got to see him in close quarters and literally live with Bhagwan in the same house and thus be a witness to rare and riveting facets of his magnificent personality. Bhagwan usually spent 3 to 4 weeks in this valley in the summer months and accompanying him would be a few students and elders. This incident unfolded sometime in the late 80s. That morning, Bhagwan had just returned from a drive around the Kodai Lake. He would often send his students for a walk around its glistening waters. And that day, before he asked them to go, Bhagwan called the students and said, "Boys, there's a little hawker near the boat club selling hats. Please buy one each for yourselves." And even as Bhagwan said this, he pulled out a bunch of crisp currencies from an envelope and gave one note each to every student and assertively cautioned, "Do not bargain on the price. Give him whatever he asks for." And as Bhagwan said this, Swami's voice grew softer and his face expressed the spring of emotions that were welling up from within. And Swami then said, "That poor boy has no parents. He has not eaten anything since last morning." But before catching these words of Bhagwan and completely missing the mood of the moment, an elderly devotee blurted out, "But Swami, summer is almost over. Boys don't need the hats." And Bhagwan immediately retorted, "You don't need the hats, but that young hawker needs the money." So the students left, and as they reached the lakeside, they noticed a boy pushing his cart home. Hurriedly, they called out to him, and the little trader turned, and he was transfixed at the sight of more than 25 students rushing towards him. His eyes grew wide and mouth opened in surprise when all the boys quickly asked him, "Can you sell us your hats, please?" And he said, "Okay, how many do you want?" And the boy said, "All, we want all." "All?" The hawker was completely bewildered. He said, "Are you sure? I mean, no one had ever bought the entire lot from me, ever." And the boy said, "Yes, yes, absolutely, we want all your hats." And now the tiny seller could not contain his happiness. His eyes really were overflowing with joy. There was a broad smile on his innocent face. And as he picked one hat after another, softly he was muttering to himself, "I have not sold a single hat for the last 15 days. And look what is happening today." And one of the boys then very eagerly asked, "Don't worry. How much do you sell one hat for?" And the trader said, "Generally I charge rupees 20 for one, but now it is off season, so you can pay me rupees 15 each. That's enough." And the boy said, no, we will give you 25 rupees. And now the tiny hat hawker was even more flummoxed. He's wondered what is happening today. It was like too good to be true. But in fact, that is what we have seen in life, isn't it? When you are touched by the divine, things happen in ways unimaginable, unexpected, and absolutely inexplicable. Things work out, doors open, opportunities come calling and inundate you with happiness. And all this happens at the most unexpected time and in the most unanticipated manner. So as the boys picked up the round, broad and yellowish straw crowns, and one boy looked inquisitively at the hawker and asked, "Do you know Sai Baba?" And the little one suddenly looked up with a lot of brightness on his face and he said, "Yes, yes, I pray to him every day. I love him." And in that excitement, he pulled out a small newspaper clipping from his ragged bag, and with joy brimming in his eyes, he said, "See, I have him. I have him." It was a moving and memorable day for every student as they walked down towards their guest house, admiring their new position. Someone now casually remarked, "Okay, we have got these hats, but what do we do with these hats? I mean, it is neither sunny nor is it raining." And just then, from around the corner, the boys saw the all-too-familiar red car approaching. They grew alert, and as the wheels drew near, they waited excitedly to show Bhagwan their hats and tell him about their beautiful encounter with this little merchant. And when Bhagwan's car arrived, interestingly, it stopped right in front of that boy who had questioned the purpose of the hat. The window panes rolled down, and with a mischievous smile, Bhagwan said, "Wear the hats. It is good for the rain." And no sooner did Bhagwan say this, a drizzle came dashing down, and a chill ran down everyone's spine. It was so otherworldly, as if someone was holding the waters just above for Bhagwan to just look up, smile and say, "Yes, now." To teach the lesson of selfless love, the master can go to any extent. He will even bring the sky down if that will help imprint in our hearts, the notion of being less self-centered. And this is what Govinda and Gopala do. Govinda is the one who looks after everyone. Here the Lord was looking after the little hawker. He was looking after all the students. He was looking after nature. And He is Narayana. He is there in every heart. He is there in the heart of the hawker. He is there in the heart of the student. And He is there in every speck of creation. He is there in the rain. He is there in the hat. He is there in the ground. He is there in the tears. He is there in the overflowing emotions. He is there in every speck of our experience. To such a Lord who will go to any extent to let us know how He is there for us. Even if the whole world denounces us, He will stand by us. Even if the whole world is not with us, He will stand next to us. That is why He is Govinda. That is why He is Gopala. And if there is any little bit of ego in us, just like one of the boys had, if there is any bit of doubt in us, He will diminish those negative qualities. In fact, Govinda also means the one who subdues the animal tendencies in us. And that is what was happening in this episode when the elder asked, Swami, why do we need the hats? And Swami said, you don't need the hats, but the boy needs the money. So this is what Govinda, the Lord as Govinda and as Gopala continuously does for each one of us. Let's move on to the next line.
Madhava Gopal, Madhusudana Gopal.
Madhava comes from Ma and Dhava. Ma refers to not only Mother Lakshmi, who is the goddess of all types of prosperity and wealth, but also it refers to nature, Prakriti. And in other context, it also means Maya or illusion. So Madhava is one who is the master of nature, master of illusion, and the master of all forms of prosperity. Madhu is a term used in Vedanta or philosophy to refer to the fruits of actions also. Since the Lord destroys the effects of our actions, if you meditate on Him, we don't have to face the consequences of our actions. He can nullify the results, the harm effects of our actions. That is the reason why He is also called as Madhusudana. In another interpretation, refers to that which is sweeter than honey. Madhu means nectar, and Swami says, what is sweeter than honey? For every human being, it is the ego. Therefore, in this context, it refers to the one who annihilates the ego in us. That is why He is Madhusudana. Bhagavan says that the ego of every human being is very sweet for every person, and it can be removed only by God. Because God is sweeter even than the sweetest object in the universe. In fact, this reminds me of another very telling episode which happened way back in the 90s in Prashanthi Nilayam. One day Bhagwan asked a teacher during an interaction session with the students in the college, what is your salary? This happened in 1993. Back then Bhagwan visited the Prashanthi Nilayam campus often and spent exclusive time with the management faculty and the students. He would engage with the students on varied topics ranging from marketing, production, supply chain management and international finance to rural development, leadership, total quality management, re-engineering, you name it, every subject. There the students were learning in their management classes. It was towards the end of one such session as he was leaving that Bhagwan suddenly asked this teacher this question, what is your salary? The teacher went blank and stayed quiet. He could have mentioned the figure, but somehow no word came out of his mouth. It was not because he was ashamed of his salary or did not want others to know what he was being paid by the university. Actually, as someone who earlier was in an eminent position in the corporate world, his remuneration in the college in comparison was much less. Perhaps he thought revealing the amount might give an impression that the university was not compensating him adequately. So this was the thought which prevented him from answering Swami's question promptly. As he later recalled, it is true that I am receiving substantially less here, but then why show Bhagwan's university in poor light? So this was his thought process. And when Bhagwan did not receive an answer from him, he just let it be and Bhagwan left. If the teacher had spoken anything, then depending on Bhagwan's response, he could have perhaps gathered the purpose behind Bhagwan's query, but then he had lost the chance. Later on, he reflected on it with sadness and said, I missed a moment of divine interaction and the lesson intended for me. Subsequently, to his good fortune, Bhagwan selected him to accompany him during the darshan sessions and assist him in collecting letters and distributing vibhuti. It was a prized opportunity. Every morning and evening, he was with Bhagwan doing the duties assigned with great commitment and love. More than a year and a half passed, and as Bhagwan went out for darshan, he had this daily chance of shadowing Bhagwan, and he was ever alert to offer whatever help Bhagwan might need physically. Generally, Bhagwan would first walk through the ladies' side and then cross over to the gents' section, and finally, as he neared the main portico of the mandir, he would see the students and staff of his college. One particular afternoon, as he was crossing the gents' section and taking the right turn to move on to the staff and students' area, a gentleman raised himself and desperately tried offering an envelope to Bhagwan. It was to Bhagwan's right, but Bhagwan's face was already turned towards the left. Interestingly, even though Bhagwan was not looking at him, Bhagwan's hand picked up that person's cover and handed it over to the teacher walking behind him. And the teacher, who was highly attentive to Bhagwan's gestures, immediately collected the letter, and Bhagwan continued to walk. And as Swami moved ahead, the teacher also, who was walking behind, moved a few paces, and now the teacher stood right in front of the gentleman who had given Bhagwan the cover. And this man got up again and, grasping the arm of the teacher, said, and somewhat loudly he mentioned, "That cover has a draft for 10 lakh rupees. Keep it carefully." The teacher did not try to pay attention to him because his focus was solely on Bhagwan. In fact, the gentleman was acting out of line because it was the norm that none should communicate with each other in Bhagwan's physical presence. It is another matter that no one ever felt like communicating with one another when Bhagwan is giving darshan. I mean, everyone is so absorbed in Bhagwan in those precious moments that the last thing one would want to do is to disturb the person serving Bhagwan. So the teacher, however, was not distracted in the least, and this helped because for some strange reason, as this happened, Bhagwan's hand that had just given him the letter instantly picked the same letter again from the teacher's hand. And Bhagwan's face, mind you, was still turned to the left. But Bhagwan stepped back, swiftly dropped the letter onto that gentleman's lap on the right, even as he was looking at someone on the left. And Bhagwan walked further. So Swami picks this letter, looking on the other side, gives it to the teacher behind, in seconds, picks it back from the teacher's hand and drops it back on the lap of the person from whom he had originally taken. And what happened in the meanwhile is that person getting up and telling the person accompanying Bhagwan that, "I am giving Swami 10 lakh rupees." So the darshan continued, and as Bhagwan moved forward a few more steps, Swami gently turned his face now to the right in the direction of another group of devotees. A couple of meters away in the third row sat a man holding a soiled letter. From his attire, it was obvious that he belonged to the economically disadvantaged class. He held on to the cover with a lot of trepidation in his heart, looking at Bhagwan's beautiful form. He was so absorbed in Swami's grace, in that darshan, he was lost in awe, and his lips were continuously saying a prayer. It seemed like he wasn't sure if he should offer the letter to Bhagwan. He held it so close to his chest, almost covering it with his fingers. One look at him and you could see the penance in his eyes as he continued to gaze at the Lord without blinking even for a moment. And Bhagwan, when his eyes fell on him, as Swami turned right, when Swami saw this man, immediately the pace of Swami's steps quickened, and in no time Swami was in front of him, and the man was immersed in the beauty and sublimity of Bhagwan. He forgot that he was holding this letter, but Bhagwan himself came near him, bent forward, stretched his hand with much love, and sweetly picked the cover from his hands. There was a beautiful smile on Bhagwan's lips. The man was on a different plane, so submerged in devotion he was that he hardly realized what had just happened. As he continued to glide smoothly, Bhagwan's gaze went back again towards the students. But just for a moment, Swami turned behind, handed the letter to the teacher and said, "Keep it carefully." The teacher's hands were occupied. Just so that he did not misplace this special letter, the teacher immediately placed this in his shirt pocket. Soon after, The darshan concluded. Bhagwan went into the interview room. In about 40 minutes, the devotees who had been picked by Bhagwan for a special private session also emerged from the interview room. They went back into the crowd and now Bhagwan was alone in the interview room. Suddenly, the door opened slightly and this teacher, whose eyes were always on the interview room, immediately became vigilant for any instruction from Bhagwan, and Swami looked at him through the little gap in the door and gestured him to come in. Instantly, the teacher went in. So now he was with Bhagwan, only him and Bhagwan. And as soon as he was there with Swami, Bhagwan asked, "Where is the cover I gave you?" Without losing a second, he took it out from his pocket and handed it to Bhagwan. But Swami did not take it from his hand. Instead, he instructed, "Open it." As the teacher opened the envelope, Bhagwan said, "See what is inside. Take it out." When the teacher put his fingers inside, he found a tiny piece of paper 2.5 inches by 3 inches. As he looked at it, he realized that it was the counterfoil of a deposit made at the State Bank of India. Again came Bhagwan's direction, "Read what is written there." The teacher looked at it keenly and figured what it was. He said, "Swami, it is a receipt for the donation of 10 rupees done to the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust." Nodding his head in affirmation, Swami, in a voice filled with compassion, Swami then revealed, "This person skipped his meals for 2 days to save this money and offer it to me. This is more precious to me than the 10 lakhs the other man was trying to give." And as the teacher was trying to fathom the immense significance of what he had just heard from Swami, Bhagwan added, "To give away something which is just a surplus is no sacrifice. True sacrifice is to restrain your desires and sincerely and consciously give up something to brighten someone else's life." The lesson was still not over. Then came the master stroke on Bhagwan. Swami looked into the eyes of the teacher and emphatically said, "This is the money I give all of you as salary." The teacher instantly caught hold of the feet of Bhagwan and broke down like a child. How foolish he was to think that the amount Bhagwan was giving him was in any way less. How stupid of him to think that he could be embarrassing Bhagwan if he revealed his salary. How brazenly his convoluted mind failed to fathom the immensity of the Lord's compassion. With time, this teacher went on to be blessed with many responsibilities in Bhagwan's mission. And this lesson from Swami was something that guided his directions in the years to come to be an instrument in the Lord's hands. So the Lord, as Madhusudana and as Madhava, ensures that any slightest bit of feeling that I am the doer is annihilated. Madhu, as I mentioned, is the ego. And Madhusudana is the one who removes our ego, because that person felt that I am doing it for Swami, I am giving this 10 lakhs for Swami. Swami ensured that he does not encourage this feeling in that person. Everything that the Lord does is not for our material prosperity, it is only for our spiritual upliftment. And that is what the Lord does as Madhusudana. And as Gopala, he looks after everyone. He looks after the disadvantaged one who sees the feelings of what is emerging from every soul on the planet. And that is how he is Gopala, looking after everyone. And as Madhusudana, he is constantly here to ensure that if we move out of this feeling that I am the doer, that I can do something, we have to always remember that I am nothing. It is only him who is acting. And when we sing this bhajan with this feeling, it will really become a sadhana. When you feel that I am not singing, oh Lord, without you, I can never sing. If I am singing, it is because of you. If I am speaking, it is because of you. If I am able to think, it is because of you. If I am able to speak, it is because of you. If with that feeling we sing this bhajan, it will definitely take us to a new level. Let us move on to the
Keshava Gopal Mukunda Gopal.
Here we adore the Lord as Keshava and Mukunda. Keshava has many meanings. One meaning of Keshava is he who destroys troubles or klesha. Another meaning is the one who has lovely locks of dark and curly hair. This is derived from the word kesa, which means hair. Similarly, you have Keshava also meaning the one who destroyed the demon Kesi, Lord Krishna, annihilated this demon in the Krishna avatar. So Keshava refers to that person who has this beautiful crown of hair, and Mukunda is one who grants his mukti. That is why he is Mukunda. So that is what is conveyed in this last line. We refer to the beautiful form of the Lord who can give us the most beautiful thing that any soul can ever aspire for, and that is mukti. So dear listeners, there are so many ways you can contemplate, meditate and deliberate on this bhajan. We just offered one perspective. Let us spend our time drinking the nectar of the beautiful names of the Lord that have been set to such a simple tune in this bhajan. Let's now sing once again along with all the students of Prashanthi Nilayam.
Govinda Gopal Jai Narayan Gopal,
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 Madhava Gopal Madhusudan Gopal,
Madhava Gopal
Sai Ram, you are listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 10th January 2019. This came to you as part of Thursday Live programs of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and it was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti. Dear listeners, we hope you like this program. Please send us your feedback by either email or WhatsApp. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org and our WhatsApp number is 9393258258. Thank you, and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam.